Wow, that's loud. And we have to keep it loud because there is no coffee this morning. So we're going to turn everything up just to make sure that everybody is good and awake. We're even going to have some vacation Bible school songs we're going to sing today. We're going to get everybody up and moving. It's going to be a good morning because things work better in pairs. Have you ever figured that out? Things just work better in pairs, like riding a seesaw. Yeah, if you've ever tried to ride a seesaw by yourself, it is painful, actually, when you, if you actually can get yourself up and then you slam back down, and it's just really boring. It is. Also, it's boring if you're out in the pool going, Marco! See? I know. It's better in pairs. Did I say that earlier? Some things are better in pairs. Like when you're out in a pool and you're trying to play a game and you go, Marco! Oh, there we go. See, it works a lot better like that. Also, applying sunscreen to the middle of your back. You know, it's really hard. It's really hard to get those difficult to reach places. You need some help with that. It's also hard to sing a duet by yourself. You need somebody else. You really do. It's hard to do that alone. Something else that works better in pairs, playing frisbee. Otherwise, it's just fetch. That's all it is. You throw it, and then you go get it, and that's just how you play. Shaking hands is also easier to do in pairs. You ever tried shaking hands by yourself? Go ahead. Try that. See how that works. Yeah. Think how weird you look doing that and yelling, Marco, and nobody saying anything. Now, I know all of this because I'm an only child, and I did not grow up with brothers or sisters like many of you did. And you had people that you could play with. I just had a dog named Fuzzy, and I had to learn how to do things on my own, like throw a ball against a wall and let it bounce or roll back to me. Yeah, I did that. I played with G.I. Joes, and I had to be both the Joes and Cobra. Yo, Joe, Cobra! Didn't have anybody else. There were some games, though, that were made for one, like A Barrel of Monkeys. You guys remember this game? Did you play this? You've got these little monkeys, and they've got these little crazy arms, And the whole goal is just to take one of the monkeys and go and link arms with another monkey. And then, oh, look, now I've got three monkeys. I'm playing by myself, but I've got friends. And look, now I've got more friends. Oh, and I am on a roll. And you have to use a lot of skill here. There's a lot of just patience and talent that it takes. Now, don't try to do this at home because I'm a professional. All right? And the whole point was to see just how many you could get without just completely getting frustrated and giving up and all of your monkeys falling off. And then you just went outside and you played with your dog named Fuzzy. I mean, that's what you did if you were an only child, because things just work better together in pairs. Now, look, even though I really enjoyed my childhood, it was just a lesson that was indelibly stamped on me. You need others. Just like when it comes to staying connected to the vine. Over the last 6 weeks, we've been walking with Jesus and his disciples through the garden area just outside the city of Jerusalem. Within hours, Jesus is going to be arrested, and the cross is on the horizon, but so is the tomb, and we rejoice about that because we know all of these things, but his disciples, well, they don't know anything. They don't know what is coming. And so Jesus uses these final moments to prepare them, but he's also preparing each of us for what is going to come. And at times like this, you choose your words very carefully, and you take advantage of every moment. And I think that's why Jesus stops and he points out one of the many vines growing across the landscape, and he taps into the need for a person to associate this with that. The idea to understand one thing in terms of another thing. We refer to that as being a metaphor. And he knows that his students think in metaphor, so he gives them something tangible that they can hold to in the coming days. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches, he said. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, here's the part that I want us to focus in on just for a few minutes this morning. Notice that Jesus does not say, I am the vine and you are the branch. Doesn't say that. This isn't Jesus talking about a one-on-one connection. It's not just you and your Savior. It's not just you and your buddy Jesus. He says, you are the branches. It's plural. And I know that it can be easy to personalize Scripture and read its words through individualistic glasses. Sometimes we like to live life as if God has only children, the only one child. But the followers of Jesus are called to follow together. You know, and we often do. We often do follow together, especially when things are going well in life. You know, when everything's good at work and everything at home seems to be running smoothly, and it seems like we win whatever it is that we do. Our teams are the ones that are being talked about, and the money is coming in, and it just seems like that everything is going great. And we're all connected, and we want people to know about those things that are taking place in our life. But then when there's a downturn, and when you get laid off, or when you're struggling when it comes to the relationship you're having with your parents or with your children, when it seems like that no matter what you do, you cannot win, well, it's at those times that often we decide that we're just going to go off and do life on our own. We really don't need anybody else. And so we are more prone to withdraw and isolate. We begin to ghost our friend group, and they're trying to find us, and we're nowhere to be found. I make excuses as to why I don't show up and to why I do not participate. And I talk about all the things that I can do by myself. You know, some of this is just our nature. But some of it is actually a response that we have, because when things don't go our way, it comes from our nurture. See, the individualization of our Western culture often weaves its way into our faith expression. A Dutch psychologist named Geert, I love this name, Geert Hofstede. Say that with, say Geert. Geert Hofstede. Now, if any of you are looking for names, I know the Shivers just had a baby and they were thinking about Geert as a name, but Susanna said that she was voted down, and so that was not the name of the little one. Who is here today, by the way? Brand new youngest member of our church family right here with us, so that's awesome. But Geert, he did something really cool. He did a study, and he measured, among other things, the degree to which individuals in a given country were integrated into groups and communities. And he then adapted his findings into a scale that gives a score to each individual nation that he studied based on how individualistic their citizens tend to be. So guess where the United States ranks in terms of individualism? Number one. That's right. Woo, baby. We're first. But I don't know if that's really a good thing. See, we're first with a score of 91 on that Geert Hofstede scale of individualism. The United States ranks as the world's most individualistic nation, and it is not even close. Of the 65 other nations studied, 55 of them scored less than 70. And the average score of all the nations, even when you add in the U.S., is 91 total, 39. Yeah, we're stuck on ourselves, people. We are. And we like being number one. And to tell the truth, we don't see a problem with being individualistic. We actually wear it as a badge of honor. We love being the Lone Ranger. It is me, or it is us, against the world. And you know what? You can come be my Tonto, and you can ride along with me, but I really don't need your help. Because after all, I've got Google and Siri and Alexa, and I can do whatever I need just with them. We live in a society that encourages us to go it alone. So it really should not surprise anyone to find out that many of us are lonely. A 2024 report, Loneliness in America, it's called Just the Tip of the Iceberg, suggests that 21% of adults in the U.S. say they feel lonely. The U.S. Surgeon General has classified loneliness as a public health epidemic, citing studies that show that actually one in every two report experiencing it. And guess what? If you are younger and if you are single, you are more likely to report chronic loneliness. We are a lonely, individualistic society. Dr. Vivek H. Murthy, the 19th Surgeon General of the United States, a few years back published a book that was aptly titled, Together, The Healing Power of Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World. And in that, he vividly points out how human beings, he says, are hardwired, get this thinking, that we are hardwired for connection. That we are meant to be connected to others. He says, quote, quite simply, human relationship is as essential to our well-being as food and water. We are hardwired for connection. Sounds like he's just echoing Jesus. I'm the vine, you are the branches. You see, from the beginning, I think that's what Scripture has always taught. God made it clear that we were made for connection with others. The Genesis story has the Creator God saying, let us make mankind in our image. And just like God exists in community, we are hardwired for connection. So Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, if you were to go walk around in a vineyard and you go up and down its rows, you will find that these branches and are all tangled together. They are woven together in a creative tapestry that gives support to each individual branch. It also gives each individual branch strength. See, living lives that are tangled, living lives like branches, it sometimes gets messy, but it's all a part of what it means to stay connected to the vine. Now, this is the VBS part of the program here this morning. You remember this one? I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all... Okay, some of y'all were spiritual and went to Bible school growing up. That's awesome. Now, the rest of you, we're going to learn this together. All right, here we go. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. You know what? Our yaks have no idea what we're singing right now. I mean, they grew up, you know, our God is an awesome God. I mean, that was Vacation Bible School for you guys. But no, not where are you Gen X people? I know we got some Gen Xers in here. You guys know this one, right? Oh, I know you guys have got this one. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up. Now do the arms. Tangled up in God. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God. Oh, yeah. No coffee. This is what you get, okay? We got the message this morning. It said, hey, our coffee pots are broken. Chris, can you help us out? I'm like, look, I got you. I got you. We thought about putting some Red Bull in the communion and said, nope, that would not be appropriate. We're going to do Vacation Bible School songs. We sing about it, but the New Testament talks about it. In fact, the New Testament frequently uses a particular word to help us understand what it means to be all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in God, to be the branches. The word is allelon. And it is translated in our Bibles as one another. Usually you find it preceded by a practical relationship principle like forgive one another or submit to one another. You find pray for one another, comfort one another. And what I want us to do is just focus in on a couple of these one another's, because it's just going to help us be good branches. So Paul wrote to Christians living in Rome, and he told them, I want you to accept one another. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Go ahead and put that one up on the screen. I want to make sure that everybody sees this. Romans 15, verse 7. Let's read this together. You ready? Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Look, branches don't get to choose who they become entangled with. But in our increasingly tribal approach to community, we create this pressure, and we feel this pressure to reject people from other tribes. So I think this is a great starting point as we seek to live life in the vine with other branches, because we cannot create community without accepting differences. And community is a buzzword these days. We love to talk about community, and we talk about our faith community and our church community. And this is a wording that we hear often, and it is great to be able to throw out, but the word means nothing if we don't accept differences. It just looks good on a header somewhere. It's just a nice conversation that we have. You see, there are different sides to almost every subject, and we all have different perspectives, different approaches, different dreams, different desires. We have different candidates and backgrounds, and we have different temptations, and on the list can go. And it can feel like no matter which side you are on, that you are required to be against the other's side. And if that is kind of how you feel, if that is what you experience, if that's how you just think things are, I want you to know that is not the case. See, being a branch changes all of that. Branches accept one another, even if we do not agree fully with one another's positions or opinions. We can accept a person without thinking that our acceptance of that person is an agreement with or an endorsement of everything they believe or practice. It is not a zero-sum equation. It's not all or nothing. The Christians in Rome were a mixture of individuals with both Jewish and Gentile or non-Jewish backgrounds. This meant that some of them had always worshipped Jehovah God in endeavoring to follow his commands and keeping a specific set of religious traditions. That's some of the people that were a part of the Christian community there in Rome that Paul writes to. Others grew up in the city and they worship multiple gods and whomever the emperor happened to be at that time in their life. And they engaged in all types of religious practices based upon their beliefs and their superstitions. Now, by the time they received this letter from Paul, both groups had placed their faith in Jesus as being Messiah or as being one true God. But the Jewish Christians, listen, they still held to some of their traditions. And the Gentile Christians, well, they were slow to give up some of their superstitions. And both naturally gravitated toward excluding the other from church life. They wanted to be with their peeps. They wanted to keep their Jewishness. They wanted to hold to their superstitions. And they just felt more comfortable when they were around people that spoke their language, that knew the terminology. They had the secret handshake. They knew the slogans. They knew exactly what to expect. And so Paul writes, and he essentially lays out the basic message of the gospel. And there in his letter to Rome, he says, it doesn't matter who you are. Because of sin, everyone and everything is in need of God's redemptive mercy. And thankfully, God is more merciful than mankind and creation is sinful. So out of his love for his creation, he made salvation possible through Jesus. And he lays out, Paul does, that everyone has the same problem and everyone enjoys the same solution, regardless of their traditions or their superstitions. They were all branches. They were all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in God. They were connected to God's vine. By the way, for centuries, the nation of Israel was viewed as being God's vine. And when Jesus called himself the true vine, he was saying that the path to God doesn't go through a nation, it goes through a person. You don't have to be a part of this group over here, and you don't have just to be a part of this group over here, but you do have to be connected to the vine. So you can see why having these two groups in the same Bible study might be awkward. It would probably be worse than a middle school dance. Jewish Christians on one side of the room and Gentile Christians on the other, and no one wanting to come into the middle and bust a move. It was very awkward. They were coexisting, but they were not enjoying community. And let me just say something this morning, friends. I'm afraid this is how so many churches are today. We coexist, but we don't really enjoy community. So understand, community is not possible where acceptance is not present. If we are not able to accept followers of Jesus who look and talk and think and worship and vote and dress and express themselves differently, then it is a telltale sign that our connection with the vine is lacking. So Paul said, accept one another. And he places a caveat on it. He says, I want you to accept one another just as Christ accepted you. You see, the acceptance that we offer to another is merely an extension of the acceptance that we have received. You see, every follower of Jesus shares two things in common: sinfulness and grace. Every follower of Jesus shares two things in common. Say it with me: sinfulness and grace. And since every follower of Jesus has already received his acceptance, then shouldn't they receive ours? In doing so, we're just behaving as branches that are connected to the true vine. And as a result, Paul says, God is going to be praised. Let's look at one another text. In a different letter written by the same guy, the Apostle Paul says, we need to bear one another's burdens. Literally, he says, we need to share another's weight. Now, have you seen these pictures on the side of boxes that show two people picking up and carrying a box? You know, it's an announcement that says, hey, that whatever the contents of the box are, and the contents of the box and the box itself is just too heavy to be lifted by one person. Now, here's the question for you. Do you see this image as a warning? Hey, caution, do not carry this on your own. Or do you see it as a challenge? Like, it takes two normal people to carry this box. Are you just a normal person? Right? I mean, some of us, that's how we look at that, right? We see these stickers and we're like, oh, all right, stand back. Don't want anybody to get hurt. You normal people, I know, usually takes two of you, but excuse me while I show you. You know, this verse is a reminder. It's a reminder that branches actively participate in the growth of other branches. Bear one another's burdens. Woven together, each branch shares the weight of another, helping to keep the whole unit strong. You see, active participation in one another's lives enables the followers of Jesus to endure the pressures of life. We were made for connection, not just with Jesus, but also with one another. But you know, through the years, I've noticed not so much a reluctance on the part of Jesus' followers to engage and actively share in others' weight, but what I've noticed is that there is a reluctance on the part of a Jesus follower to ask for and accept help. We all act like we're only children. We're the only kid. Nobody else in God's family but us. The new mom who hasn't slept in days. The dutiful son caring for the ailing father. The husband who just lost his job. The single 20-something struggling with addiction. Friends, there are so many people that are being crushed by the weights of life, but who refuse to ask for or accept help. You do know that even Jesus stumbled under the weight of his cross, right? And I think there are some people who are here this morning who need to take advantage of being tangled up in the vine. You're being crushed, and you need to ask for and accept help. I also think there are men and women in this room and listening online who need to step in and who need to step up in order to keep another branch from being crushed. And maybe you're wondering, well, what should I do? Well, here's just a daily mission. Here's a daily mission for each and every one of us. Be alert to the burdens of others and devote yourself to making them lighter. Just kind of go through life understanding that everybody has one of those stickers that we showed earlier, right? But it takes two to carry the weight. Just know that. So don't be afraid to ask someone, hey, can I help you with what's going on? Or, hey, are you carrying anything that's a little bit too heavy right now? I know that there are those of you who are here that have experienced the relief that comes from your connection with other branches. So how about this week, why don't you just send a note or a text? And why don't you thank the person who has been actively participating in your life? Just send them a little note and say thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you said. Thank you for how you showed up. It doesn't have to be someone that did something huge for you, or maybe it was. Maybe it was somebody who stepped in, and because they stepped in for you, you were able to truly breathe. You were able to get perspective, and you were able to go another day. I don't know what it is, but just send a little message. But just make sure that if you reference this sermon that you use the correct Bible verse. True story. Not a preacher story here. By the way, you know when preachers say that, it makes it sound like that preachers always make up stories. Anyway, not a preacher story, but a preacher once sent letters to people who have been helping to carry his burdens through the years. And at the end of that note of thanks and gratitude, he signed each one Galatians 5 verse 2, because he thought just quickly that Galatians 5 2 said, bear one another's burdens. But that's not what Galatians 5 2 says. It's what Galatians 6 2 says. Galatians 5 2 says, if you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. An unusual way to end a thank you letter. But I'm sure the people appreciated that, you know, preacher was concerned about them. Anyway. Some things just work better in pairs. Followers of Jesus are called to follow together. We were made for connection with God, and we were made for connection with one another. Eugene Peterson put it this way, I am not myself by myself. I'm not myself by myself. Jesus said it, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You're all wrapped up, tied up, and you're tangled up in God. That's how God wants you to be with him. And when that happens, we accept one another as sinners saved by grace. And we actively participate in one another's lives, helping to carry the everyday weights and struggles. It's what branches that are connected to the vine do. You see, our job is to stay connected. We've been saying that now for the last 6 weeks. And so I thought it might be a good idea to just give to give you a small metaphor. To give you a small metaphor that you could maybe keep in your car or keep there on your desk, just to remind you of that one job that you have to be connected to Jesus. Now, the branches that you see that are up here behind me have been expertly connected and arranged by our own Ashley Francis, and she has told me that whatever she used to hang them, well, they're not coming down anytime soon, okay? Let's just put it that way. They're going to be up here for a while, so I can't send you home today with one of them. Instead, I am I'm going to give you a monkey, okay? I am. I'm going to give you a monkey. We've got a barrel of them. All right. Actually, we've got a lot of barrels, and they're all different. You know, you saw the different colors, just kind of like our church family. I mean, they're different. Let me put these here, and ladies, go ahead and go. Just go back to those middle doors back there. All right. And here you go, guys. I don't want to leave. I won't leave y'all out. Go. It's fine. You can go look. Please. No, I don't want to leave you out. Yes, please go. I know. Girls go to the bathrooms in pairs and triplets, and the guys go hand out monkeys that way. That's how we do it. If you want a monkey, take a monkey. Here's what I want you to remember. Number one, stay connected. You see how those little monkeys, see how their arms, I mean, one side has to be connected. And this whole series has been all about how we need to evaluate if we really are connected to the vine, that being Jesus. So stay connected. And look, I know that it can be difficult, and I know that there are so many things in life that wear at that connection, okay? And so I know it's something that has to be worked on daily. And the fact that you were even here this morning is just a way for you to reinforce the connection that you have and to have that be on your mind. So the first thing, when you get this little guy and when you see him tomorrow and when you see him the next day, I want you to think about, am I connected to the vine? Am I connected to Jesus? Are the attributes of Jesus flowing through me? Jesus' words, his perspective. Am I treating people as Jesus treats people? And then secondly, if you notice, these things are designed to be connected to other monkeys, right? I want you to think about who it is that you are connected to. Did they kick you out? You didn't want to help me? Oh, you're coming to get trash. That's great. Thank you for doing that. Picking up after yourself, because you know what I'm going to say here in a few minutes, right? And you're getting your trash. That is great, man. You get two monkeys. Who are you connected to? Who are you connected to that you have their soul's best interest at heart? Who are you connected to that you know that they have your soul's best interest at heart? You see, we were designed, we were hardwired for connection. And followers of Jesus are meant to follow Jesus together. God's family knows nothing about the idea of an only child. We were all made to be a part of the family of God because we were all made to be connected. And I'm so thankful for that. So let's pray and give God thanks. Father, we do say thank you for not leaving us alone in this life to figure things out on our own, to deal with all of the chaos and all of the uneasiness, all of the anxiety that comes our way because of events, because of things that happen that we have no control over. So we're thankful that Jesus stopped that night in the garden, knowing the chaos that was coming, knowing the anxiety that would fall upon his disciples, and he points to that vine and he just reminds them and says, look, here is who I am and here is who you are. And now centuries later, we're being encouraged by that. It can be so easy for us to live individualistic lives, just go and do things our way, the way that we want to, the way that we see fit, the way that we think is going to be best. We don't think about if there's any other standard or expectation. We don't think about if we have been designed or if we have been made for something else by a creator God. And then we just go and do our own thing. And sometimes we care about how it makes others feel, but oftentimes we do not. Father, it's our prayer this morning that we would realize that we are better. We are fulfilling the purpose that we've been made for. When we are wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in you. When we're connected to the vine, and when we are woven, interwoven with other branches. So, Father, allow us to be accepting of others that you have accepted. And allow us to bear the weights and the struggles of other monkeys just like us, whose circus is just going crazy. And let us do so, Father, so that you might receive the honor and the glory in all things. Father, we don't know what is coming in the future. We don't know what will happen this afternoon, what will happen tomorrow, this week, this month. But we are so thankful that we have the promise of being able to be connected to the vine and woven together and connected with others. It's in the name of Jesus that we give our thanks this morning, the true vine. And amen. So, church, if you want a monkey, take a monkey. If we run out, we'll bring more next week. We're going to sing a song and encourage one another. Maybe you need to come before this church body today and say, you know what? I am that individualistic Christian. I'm just going to own it. And I'm going to be the one that says, I just kind of come in, even in our church family. And I just kind of come and I just kind of sit here and I just kind of leave. And I'm not really connected to anybody and just kind of go do my own thing. Maybe you need to come and say, I'm not connected to the vine at all. And I'd love to be baptized into Christ. We'd celebrate with you with that. That would be wonderful. Maybe you're looking for connection and you need to come and say, hey, look, I'm one of those monkeys. I'm connected to the vine, but I just really don't have a lot of connections. I'm new. I'm new to this family. I'm new to this town. I really would like to be able to meet some people. Love to be able to get that information from you. Maybe you need to go to our prayer room that's located in our lobby. Speak to one of our pastors and just be able to have a conversation that focuses on life in the vine. Whatever your need might be, let's encourage one another. Maybe you need to scoot over. Maybe you need to take somebody's hand. Maybe you need to lock arms. Hey, why don't you do that? Let's look like monkeys as we stand and give praise to our God.